My prayer this morning is the last verse that Earl read this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Field. Think about those words this morning. What it means to be filled. What it means to be full. Back in the day, as my nephew used to say, he said that to me one day when he was about, he's 25. In fact, he was 25 on the 25th. But when he was probably about 12 or 13, he said, you know, Aunt Melinda, back in the day. And I said, son, who do you think you're talking to, you know? But he thought that was cute. Back in the day, there was a very popular commercial for men promoting a hair tonic called Brill Cream. Oh, the black and white commercials of the 60s leaves much to be desired compared to all the high-tech, flashy commercials that we have today. But however, aside from all of that, the buzz line was very striking and extremely memorable. And it said, a little dab will do you. A little dab will do you. And that line has been around for a very long time. It's still people remember. Today, many commercials, you have no clue what they're advertising. You got to think about it. What in the world was that? We don't know. That was something that was memorable. You see, the point, of course, was this, that a little bit of that hair cream would make your hair the envy of everyone. But today, in our scripture passage from Luke's gospel, Jesus has returned to his hometown. He is back in Nazareth after some time away. It is the Sabbath. And as he did when he was a young boy living in Nazareth, he goes to worship. It was the same synagogue in which he and his parents had worshiped each and every week of his youth. Yet, on his return visit, something was very different. There's a stir among the worshipers, an air of electricity in that congregation that day. Luke is sure of why the air is electric. An anticipation, he says, it is full of electricity because of the anticipation and the awe when the words were read out of verse 14. Then Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit because he had returned to Galilee. You see, a little dab will not do when it comes to being the church in the 21st century. In fact, just a little of God, so to speak, is not what biblical faith is all about. How many times have I heard, preacher, it was just such a pretty day today that we just drove down to the beach. Or, it was such a dreary day today that we just slept in and took it easy. Or, Miss Melinda, I can't find my confirmation book. I didn't have time to study it or read it. Oh, we were out of town. We went to the ball game, and then, oh, next Sunday we were, I can't remember, but we'll see you soon. And the excuses and the stories go on and on when I meet people in various places, and I have not seen them for a while. For some reason, they think they need to confess to me about why they have not been where they should have been. Maybe it is a guilty conscience. I do not know. Could be. In fact, just a little of God, so to speak, is not what biblical faith is about. I'm going to say that again because I want you to know it. Jesus has returned to the place of his youth, a place where his ministry could flourish and conclude. He returned home to inaugurate his Galilean ministry, and it would require giving his whole life to God. Luke and those who reported about Jesus quoting from the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verses 1 and 2, were convinced that Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit. They knew it. But now here's the rub in that story. Whenever we are to launch into something extraordinary, into the extraordinary work of God, or some new venue of ministry in the church, we need more than a dab of God to bless our ministry. You see, we, like Jesus, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to face and embrace the extraordinary nature of the work that lies ahead of us. We need to be fulfilled. We need to be prepared. We need to be prayed up. We need to know what is going on. We need to ask God to be a part of it. We need to invite Him in and say, is this your will? Is this what you want us to do? We all need to be on the same page, and we need to pray about our endeavor and ask God to bless it. But you see, there is something else about being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit falls upon you, when the Spirit comes, it means being filled with God's courage. Too often we lack the necessary divine courage to face the mountainous task of being God's grace and God's power in this world. You see, we need God's courage to take on the things of this world, to be prepared. You see, in order to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to those who are captive, offer sight to those who are blinded by life, let the oppressed go free and proclaim all this as in God's favorable time, then you and I better be filled with God's Spirit. You see, because that's a big job. That's a lot to be done. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to be full of His Spirit. You see, a dabbing of God's Spirit will give us the fortitude and courage, but we need all of God to face the huge challenges that are inherently part of God's salvation journey. A speaker at the 2000 Indiana-Kentucky Annual Conference for Christian Educators posed a question to all of the laity and the clergy that were present that day. And he said, when is the best time for the church to be the church? Somewhat stunned and hoping that he meant for the question to be rhetorical, everyone just sat waiting for his answer. And he sat waiting for them. Finally, he replied, there is no better time to be the church than today. There is no better time to be the church than today. There's no better time to be a Christian than today. To let others know who you are and why you are. You see, it sounds simple, does it not? Closer reflection on the answer makes one wonder if we have accepted that fact, that it is very simple. Have we accepted the fact that it starts right now, that has been started, there's no better time to continue to be who you are? If you need to change it, you need to get it right. If you need to accept it, you need to do it. If you've been thinking about it, get up and get moving. You see, there's no better time to be the church than right here today. Could it be that we too often seen the church as having lived our past in the most powerful days? Think about that. People like to talk about heydays in churches. When we were, look what we used to do. This is what we have, where we've come from. It's okay to look at where you've come from, but it's also great to look at where you're going. What are we doing now? Many years ago, when I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to serve a church as their youth minister. It was a little tiny church called Wolf Creek Baptist Church, and it was in a little place called Battletown, Kentucky, right outside of Elizabethtown, Kentucky. You had to go like you were going to Fort Knox to get to it. You had to go through a huge state park called Otter Creek State Park. It was enormous. Finally, you'd get through all those winding things and you'd get back to this little place where at one time in its history, back in its 70s, were the glory days of this church. I was there in the 90s. 20 years later, some 25 years almost, they were still talking about how many people used to be in there. The place was packed. It was full. All kinds of things going on. And they wanted to go back to where they were then. They couldn't see what they had before them right then and there. And they fussed about it. They complained about it. They always looking back. They could never see what they had and they could never go forward. The church was dying. It was getting smaller all the time. But what they did have around them was a group of people that was not what they were used to. It was not the people who had grown up there in that little village. Most of those people had been coal miners. A lot of those people had worked very hard and things had moved. Businesses had moved. Now most of them had worked in town somewhere and they drove hours to be there. So everybody had changed. When people grew up and went to college, they moved away and they never came back home. So the little place was dying. Things had closed. Little stores had closed. The post office had closed. Things had moved. Things had gone. But yet, they couldn't let go of what it used to be. They couldn't take a hold of the people that were there now, and they had a great mission field before them. They had been a little up-and-coming community, and now they were dying, and the people of the community were not the same color as they were anymore. And they didn't quite like that. They didn't quite understand that. And they sure as heck didn't want it in their church. And so that's where they and myself had a problem. That's where we kind of butted heads. And we butted heads one Sunday afternoon, much to my chagrin, because I got blindsided by someone in that church. Because I was the youth minister and we had all these kids out there playing ball in the backyard. We had a cow pasture that literally hooked its fence on the back corner of the church. So I'm serious. You walk out the back door, you're in the cow pasture. So you had to be careful. There was a pad to one side, and we played ball with these kids on Sunday afternoon and got them to come and invited them. There was about four or five kids in the church. But around them, they invited all these young people to come, and we were having little hot dog things and inviting them to come in and play and be a part of the food and be a part of the fellowship. And they began to come, and that was growing. A church that might have had 35 in it on Sunday morning, we were having 12 and 15 youth on Sunday afternoon, which those are very good numbers. And we were excited. Things were growing and things were happy. Until one day, this very, very outspoken person of the Lord walked down the basement steps and looked at me in front of all those young people, and she said, "I cannot believe the way you are spending our money." And she turned and walked back upstairs. And I said, "Thank you so much for sharing on such a kind day." I thought to myself, God, I couldn't believe she did that in front of all these young people. And it broke my heart. It made me mad. It upset me. Couldn't believe she had done such a thing in front of them. I couldn't believe it. And the kids that went to church there were like, "Oh my goodness." Well, I'll never forget that lady as long as I live. But I think about, she was one of those that hung on to the past. She didn't embrace what was happening, and she sure was not going much further. You see, we have to be careful with what we have, because God has entrusted it to us. And if we don't take care of it, if we don't keep it up, if we don't look at ways to go out so that we can bring others in, our hearts will get hardened. And we'll be like some of those places that each and every year at annual conference we close churches in the Methodist Church. And I know they close them in others. Little churches that can't seem to make it anymore. Little churches that do not want to bend, that do not want to budge, that do not want to go forward. Yet that little community will close and someone else will buy that facility and a ministry will thrive. So, we have to be careful with what it looks like and not dwell on that. Because, you know, what it looks like is God's family. What it looks like is God's children. That tiny little church in Battletown, Kentucky is still a church. But its group of people are a whole lot less than 35 now. It's just hanging on by a thread. And definitely they have not embraced their community. They have gone a little further down the road somewhere else and joined and have become a church. So sometimes in trying to be the church, we forget what it is to be the church. Sometimes in being the church, we forget what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it is like to share with those around us. You see, if we are not careful, we may relegate the church's effectiveness to a time when it is more powerful and influential. We might be thinking about something. You see, there is no better time right now than to be filled with God's Spirit than today. Only when the church is filled with God's Spirit is it truly the church of Jesus Christ. When we open up our hearts and our minds long enough to allow God to dwell, it's amazing what can happen in us because we are the church. This is just a building that we protect and take care of and keep up. But you and I are the church. We're the people. And there's a lot of the church somewhere today that needs our attention. People that maybe should be here sitting in a pew next to you. Why are they not here? Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're away. Maybe they have one of those excuses that someone gave me over the years. Maybe they've kind of lost their way and no one cared. Maybe something happened and they kind of fell away and no one's taken the time to let them know they missed them. I talked to someone this week who invited me to come and do a wedding in October. And I was talking with the family and I began to ask them some questions because they used to be in a church that I was at. And I kind of was inquiring about basically why are you not using the pastor that is at that church today? Because I've been gone 6 years. Why? And sad to say, they said, well, we don't really know them. And I can't blame anybody but myself because we kind of fell away from going. Because when Mama got sick and I had to back off of being on committees, I was on the trustees and my sister was on the PPRC and all kinds of things happened. No one seemed to care that we weren't there anymore. No one sent a card. No one came by. No one called. So Mama's gone now. She died this past year. These folks are married. They've got children and grandchildren. And this is one of their children that's getting married. And they said, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. But we also have been hurt because the church forgot who we were. We're back. We're slowly getting back. But it still hurts because people have forgot who we were. And did it matter that I sat in that pew? Did it matter that I grew up in that church? Did it matter that I've been there my whole life? I was confirmed there. Does it matter that I've been there and I've served? And when I wasn't there, no one cared. No one came. The preacher don't even know my name. So you see, we have those things happen. And they don't just happen they happen all over. We hear it all the time. Because the church is not being the church anymore. It has moved away from almost caring. Not all of them, but some of them. You see, only when the church is filled with God's Spirit is it truly the church of Jesus Christ. I want us all to start looking a lot more like Christ than the world. Let us pray. Lord, I ask this day that you just open our hearts and our minds as we leave this place today. If we need to come and pray, if we need to come and talk, let us do that. If we need to stay a while, let us be able to do that. If we need to call somebody, let us go home and do that. If we need to send somebody a card, let us sit down and do it. If we need to make a visit of somebody we've been intending to visit, and we have it, we might not have tomorrow, Lord, so let us do it today. Let us be willing to go beyond our comfort zone. Let us be able to go beyond what we think and open up our hearts and our minds to see you a little bit differently, to share with the world. And allow them to come into this place because this is just a building. But we, Lord, are your people. We're your church. And we need to allow our hearts to be broken and spilled out for you so that we can allow the stuff of this world to flow out and allow your Spirit to fill us. So, Lord, this morning, as we've come to this time to dedicate our hearts and our minds to you, to make a decision on what it is we're going to do. Let us be filled. Let us be filled. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 600. Stand as we sing wonderful words of life and know that the altar is always open for you to come and to share. Stand as we sing hymn number 600.